Jesus redeemed us from death and so forth, giving his life for ours so that we could have eternal life now and live in heaven.
Let's dive into what happened to Jesus and what did he experience between Friday on the cross and Sunday when he gloriously rose back to life.
Well, you know, there's five verses that give us an indication of what he did and where he went. First of all, he said in Matthew 23:46, when he's just about to die, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Commend means the care and keeping of. So number one, his spirit was in the hands of God. Number one. Number two, then he said in Matthew 23:43, he said to the thief on the cross, "I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise." So he just let us know that he was going to paradise, not the torment side of hell. You know, back then, hell was separated by a great gulf fixed, as Luke 16 explains, that there was this torment side that the rich man was in, thirsting, wanted a drop of water. He was in the flames, and he wanted to cross over to the other side or have Lazarus cross over to dip his tip of his finger in water to cool his tongue. But they said, you cannot cross over from one side to the other. It was separated by a great gulf fixed, which means a gorge in the earth. So hell had two compartments, the torment side and the paradise side, or Abraham's bosom. Jesus went to the paradise side, Abraham's bosom, and he just said that to the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. And then 10 times in the book of John, from chapter 13 to 17, when he was getting ready to leave, he said to the apostles, I'm getting ready to depart, and I'm going to the Father, but I'll be back. So he let us know that he was going to the Father, into his spirit, into his hands to commit. He was going to Abraham's bosom. And so that's those two verses, number one. And commentaries all support this.
Yeah.
Number three, then we've got Ephesians 4:8 that where he led captivity captive. So some take that to mean that he led the captives that are in Abraham's bosom out and took them to heaven. But most of the commentaries don't agree with that. They say that he, and I'll just read this. This is from Vine's Expository Dictionary. And it said, a forceful expression for Christ's victory through his death over the hostile powers of darkness. So most of the commentaries say that the captivity captive was he was leading a procession of the Satan and his demons a proclaimed victory over the devil with his completed work. Mm-hmm. So that's what they say that verse means. I don't know for certain what it means. It could go that way, or it could go that he was leading the people out of Abraham's bosom into heaven. But it doesn't matter either way. He did lead them out. Regardless of that verse, he took them to heaven anyway, because we know in Matthew 27, when it says that many of the graves opened and many of the bodies right. of saints were slept arose and were seen physically in the city with their new glorified bodies. So he did take them out and he took them to heaven, because prior to his death, man had to go to Abraham's bosom because our sin wasn't washed away. It was covered. So man had to be covered down deep in the earth in a place of comfort, Abraham's bosom. So that's number three. That's the third verse. Then also number four, he went and preached to the spirits in prison. 1 Peter 3:19 says he preached to the spirits in prison. So there's debate about who were the spirits in prison. Quickly, I'll just go through the three points to do with this, because one of the things he did was preach to the spirits in prison. Who were the spirits in prison? They were either the rebellious fallen angels who left their own habitation or angelic nature and became men and had relations with women before the flood. That's one of the interpretations. Number two, they were the wicked people who would not repent at the preaching of Noah. And number three, they were all those who did repent and were in Abraham's bosom awaiting Christ's victory on the cross. So those are the three views of who he preached to. But the point is, he preached to somebody. But there is a variation of that. Some say that he didn't really actually go during that 3 days to preach. He just preached through Noah to the spirits in prison. So there's a variation of that. But it sounds to me that he did go and preach to, I would pick number two for three reasons. They were the wicked people who would not repent at the preaching of Noah. If you get real quickly, I'll just read the verse. It says, by which he also went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which were sometime disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. So notice three words: prison, disobedient, and long suffering. Well, all three of those words have to do with people, not angels or all the people that's ever existed, because he was saying it was at the time of Noah. Long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. So he's centering the preaching to those people, not all people that existed all the way up until the cross. Okay, number one. But number two, when you use the word disobedient, the word disobedient is used 17 times in the Bible. It always refers to people, not fallen angels. Then number two, long-suffering. That word is used four times in the Old Testament and 13 times in the New. And all those 17 times, it's used to do with people. Again, not angels. And then prison, the word prison is always referred to Satan held his prisoners. So it's to do with people again. And then again, at the end, it's talking about being saved. The verse ends with talking about eight were saved. So it's to do with rebellion and being saved. And so my opinion is, it's to do with those that Noah preached to for 100 years and they would not listen and did not get saved. And so he went to those people and said, I'm the one Noah preached to you about for 100 years and you wouldn't listen. So that's my opinion, but that's a lot of other scholars' opinions also.
Jesus went and he took the keys of death and hell.
Right. Right.
Can you just talk about that? I mean, my keys open up, you know, my apartment and start my car, but those keys were quite a bit more valuable.
Right. And Revelation 1 talks about he took the keys of death and hell. So whether he took them during that 3 days, probably he did. Whether he took them out of the hands of Satan, we don't know. It's all speculation. But that's probably one of the things he did, was take those keys, which, you know, Satan had power over death and so forth. And so Jesus redeemed us from death and so forth, giving his life for ours so that we could have eternal life now and live in heaven. So that's amazing, because they couldn't go to heaven back then. They could only go to Abraham's bosom and be comforted. But now we can go to heaven. So because he took the keys of death and hell and freed us from that, if we repent and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So that's powerful. Those keys really mean a lot.
This video that we're recording right now, I believe, could reach people that just don't understand the severity of the choices that they make in life. And they've just been kind of walking that line of, I'm a good person, so maybe God will accept me. Bill, I just want to give you an opportunity to speak to the people that are watching this and listening to this, and just to be able to tell them the truth of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, so that they don't have to experience for eternity what you experienced for 23 right. minutes.
You know, the misconception is that most people think, you know, I'm pretty good. If God's good, then I would go to heaven. But you have to understand that none of us are good. Romans 3:10 and 12 and 3:23 and so forth explain that there is not one good person compared to God's standard of good. You might be good compared to people, but not compared to God. So we are all fallen and have a sinful nature about us. We have to have a new nature given to us, and we can't earn it or work for it. And Revelation 20:15 says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God actually has a book, and he's going to look to see if our names are in his book. And the only way we get our names in that book is if we repent and say, Lord, I can't save myself. I'm not a good person, but I believe you died in my place for my sin. You paid the penalty for my sin in my place. And I repent. That means I'm sorry for my sin, and I'm going to turn away from a sinful lifestyle, and I'm going to agree to follow Jesus. It's not enough to mentally assent to the fact and say, yeah, I can believe Jesus is God. I believe that. And just go about your life, do your own thing. No, it's a turning away from sin and a turning to follow God. You know, and it takes a humble heart to admit this, that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. We all need a Savior. And then you ask Him to come into your heart and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He is the only way to get into heaven. And this is really important because this decision is eternal. If you miss this 1 second after you die, you will not get a second chance and you'll be in this horrible place that I saw. And it's not important you believe my experience, but I'm just a signpost to point you to the Word of God. Hell is real, just like Jesus said. And it's a loving message because He was warning us. He doesn't want anybody to go there. He suffered a horrible death to keep us all out. So all you have to do is repent, turn to Him, ask Him to come in your heart, and He will come in and be your Lord and Savior, and then your name will be written in His book. That's what's important for you to get this message today at this time of year and appreciate what Jesus did for us. You know, He suffered horribly on the cross for us in our place. The Son of God did that for us and for you. So I encourage you to do that, make that decision while you have the opportunity.